c'est Mystically,
a multilingual affair
avec Sista Takis.
Mystically
from France.
Yes, people, I'm here humming. Bless beautiful people. Welcome to the Empower Hour on CKUT 90.3 FM on our new slot every Thursday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Available on Facebook at MTL Empower Hour. It is New Year's Eve, folks. Mm-hmm. It is New Year's Eve, December 31st, 2020, and I'm sure a lot of us are ready for this year to be over. But for the next 2 hours, the squad's going to entertain, enlighten, and empower. My name is Miss Trish, and this morning, as always, I'm joined by my partners in light and the ones that I love dearly every Thursday. These guys enlighten me so much. Queen Kaya, Tiri, Pharaoh, and Miss Gina Long. Say hello, y'all. Hey, now. New Year's Eve, we got to bless the show. As usual, I'm going to pass the mic over to our CEO. In order to do that, Pharaoh, the floor is yours, my friend.
Hotep, blessed, melanated, rising. Everybody, this is it. It's the end of 2020. I am grateful for this year. I am grateful for the life experiences. I am grateful for this opportunity for us to be here on air. I ask that today's show, let it be very enlightening, let it be extremely empowering, let it be fun for everybody who's taking part, and just continue to bless everybody with peace, positivity, and love. Hotep, amen, ashe.
Ashe, ashe. Guys, it's December 31st, 2020. We have made it. Tell me, all around the table, how is everybody feeling?
So, I want to get into resolutions. Does anyone do resolutions around here?
No.
Okay. Check it. She said no.
I don't, because I believe whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
Sounds like a fast no.
So just check it.
That was like two weeks ago. We talked about fast no's, okay?
Well, I'm with you on that, because I don't set resolutions for the new year.
I don't.
But I do set up lifestyle goals. Okay. I'm a person who set goals for myself, right? Okay. So in 2021, I'll be setting up goals to getting back to learning Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still on Spanish 101. ¿Cómo estás?
Mm-hmm.
Bien, gracias.
Me habla Tricia.
Hey.
Claro que sí. Un cerveza, por favor.
Okay.
Unos, dos, tres.
Cuatro, cinco,
No, that was me. That's it. The three. I stopped at the three. Unos, dos, tres. Anyway, sorry, guys.
Go ahead, Gina.
Wow.
Gina.
Yo también.
Claro que sí. Okay, but more importantly.
You're like, these guys are twisted. New Year's.
I'm gearing up for my metaphysical growth. And I'm a solution-driven person, so I'm really working on I set goals. I don't set resolutions.
Boss. Right?
And I do want to give you guys my 2020 appreciation.
Okay.
I really do appreciate that. Despite all things this year, I really got to, like, I have a close family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my siblings and I are close. But this brought us to higher levels on that. And I got to bond with my sisters. We got to build, like I said, good lifestyles. We started working out together. We started creating together. And I got to do, like, some interviews with the men in my family.
Hey.
Got to learn them more.
Hey.
It was an incredible year for me from that perspective.
Amazing.
Amen. You're next.
Dope. It's funny, actually, as Gina the Great was just saying that, I was one of those men she interviewed. That was pretty lit, actually. And then I invited her on our show.
Here we are today.
I was like, you're good at this interview stuff, yo. Just come on, man. Join the fun. So, yeah, 2020 was, well, for me, it was a year of just learning. Just trying to understand, like, more of, you know, who we are, what we are. And I came to really understand that as a people, we're just not thinking. I'm sorry. I'm going to say it. We're not thinking. Yeah, I'm dropping it right at the top. Like, we're just kind of going with the flow, and the system has done a really good job of getting us to just move like machines almost. So that was my eye-opener. It's like, I have to say, that was my eye-opener for 2020. It was as we learned. Yeah, no, that was it. I have to say that was for me. It was just coming to understand that, you know, as a people, we need to start just being our own beings. You know, understand that we're more than just these physical bodies, and that we're kind of blindly following a lot, and we need to start asking more questions. You know, we need to start just questioning more things. So,
amen.
That was my 20.
Terry,
2020, I know a lot of y'all not gonna like to hear this, but I think 2020 is one of the most important year in the history of, at least recorded history of black and brown people. I think that, and we're gonna touch on this later, but I wouldn't trade 2020 for nothing. I think that 2020, people talk about the Great Reset. You know, a lot of people around conspiracy theory have heard about this. I think it is a reset. I think there's a reset and there's a shift of power. I think patriarchy is slowly losing and they're scared. I think white supremacy is slowly losing and it's scaring them. And it's beyond them. They don't understand it. They don't understand it. The internet is helping expose a lot of these things. And I think 2020 overall, from a human race point of view, has awakened a lot of people the same way the Me Too year awakened a lot of people around the struggle of women. So I, for one, am very proud of what I've done in 2020. I put my head down and have been working for my people for the past 9 months. And yeah, I think 2021 is going to be, I planted, I watered, I strategized, I mobilized in 2020, and I'm gonna reap in 2021 for sure.
Talk
Me
about
and my people are gonna reap.
Amen. Queen Kaya, how was your 2020, and how are you going forward?
I think that 2020 was a quintessential year for myself, and I know a lot of people had their ups and downs, but I have to say that this was an up year for me. It was a year that taught me how to use the skills that I already had. It taught me how to sit down somewhere and, you know, and do something with myself while I was sitting there. So I think that it was monumental because it taught me concentration with a lot of other people, right? That hadn't applied themselves. And then we look around and this came and we were like, well, listen, I'm bored. Let me might as well work on some of the stuff I always wanted to do.
Absolutely.
So out of 2020 came some beautiful revelations in my life of who I am. And so I'm very grateful for 2020 because it showed me my resourcefulness. So I thank the universe for sending us everything that it has and everything that it will.
Amen. And lastly, for myself, 2020 was basically my year of healing and addressing my own traumas that I've never touched before. And it took a lot of unfortunate events for that to happen. However, I realized that, you know, instead of looking out, I have to look in, right? So I was able to look in for a lot of my experiences and situations, adjust and keep moving forward. I know a lot of negative things happened, but a lot of the positive things happened as well. And I'm like grasping and happy for all the positive. I am grateful for 2020, but I'm also grateful that it's over, to be honest with you guys. So moving on to the headlines, let's get into it, folks. Now, folks, we're going up and we're going down, but unfortunately, we're starting with the negative just to address everything that has happened in 2020, and then we are going to segue into the positive of 2020. So, folks, if you guys want to go ahead and do that, Farrell, you want to start with the headlines? What we got?
Oh, wow. So, okay, so...
Dum, 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 dum.
I know. So, the year started... well, we had Kobe Bryant, who passed away at the beginning of the year. Yeah, that was
heavy.
That was heavy. That was really heavy.
Yeah,
I didn't believe it at first. I was like, no, come on.
Same here.
You know, I thought it was something
like,
that
he
they
can't
were
die.
Right. Yeah. Like, you know,
Kobe dead.
Kobe, what? You know, like, and that's the thing. It was just so surprising. And then after, at first, the media came out with all of his daughters were on the plane, and after it was one daughter.
Yeah,
and the way that they did it, it was just so heartbreaking. Savage. In a sense, you know, like to break our hearts like so many times over, and then show pictures of him, which was even worse. It's just like, wow. Like, guys, really? There's a limit to the madness, is there not?
And we're a basketball family around here, so, like,
right.
We had to call man's all like, yo, how are you feeling right now? My sister's boss called her and said, I know you come from a really, like, basketball family. How are you feeling? Do you
I
need
didn't
a
know
minute?
That.
Yeah.
We run heavy into basketball.
Iowa
State, UNLV, but actually now it's Pau Greece and Indiana Pacers. Shout out. So it was heavy in our house.
It was heavy.
Like, there were some tears that were dropped.
He was 41.
Young.
Really, really young. And it's like, wow, he just retired not too long ago, I believe. And then after didn't really get to live out his whole retired, didn't get to enjoy it as much as he should have or could have, which is really.
And it was an unnecessary one too.
Absolutely.
Like, they had no business
flying.
In that weather, and
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, my thing is, well, the LAPD was told not to fly, but he was still able to go.
Yeah, but he was told just, it was okay. But and I want to say this about Kobe Bryant's passing. There were some outlets, news outlets, who felt that it was the time to have to bring up his indiscretions.
His negatives. Thank you. Absolutely. And it was like, was it like, really the time for that?
How are you trying to cancel a man who just died?
Yeah. Right? Just died. You trying it.
Mm-hmm.
You trying it. They're always trying to bring down the people who, and someone who was in the community doing, anyways. Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just, we can talk about this one for the whole show.
Fire to them.
I think Kobe, myself, for having played basketball most of my life and playing professional ball in Europe and everything, I felt Kobe taught me that it was okay to cry for another man, though like in a non-sexual way. Like, it's okay. Because I was like, I don't understand why I'm crying. And I have never seen, beginning of 2020, so many black men openly express their love for another black. I never seen that.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So to me, I was like, wow, this is a massive change. This is actually an important thing. And I did a lot of introspection around that, about expressing my love for another black man. And I thought that was something. Rest in peace to the king. But I thought it was something powerful for me. And also, I think it taught me a lesson on, think about this, Kobe Bryant was supposed to take his car and drive to his daughter's game.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, because he was in a rush, we have to slow down.
Amen.
People. Kobe Bryant died because he was in a rush and took his helicopter when he knew that this helicopter was not supposed to fly. He was told not to fly, but because he was in a rush. So if Kobe Bryant, multi-million dollar Oscar winner, is in a rush, what does that tell us about everyday people trying to live our life?
Amen.
So try to slow down, people.
Yes.
For that's what I would say would be the quote unquote positive outcome out of this. My opening my eyes to loving another black man and expressing my love for him, and realizing also that if Kobe Bryant's life could be taken away, because if he takes that drive and goes into traffic and is, think about this, late for a basketball game.
Right.
Then he's alive.
Right.
But that shows you the kind of person Kobe was. Okay, we're not supposed to fly, but I can afford it. Everybody get on that that helicopter and let's go. And then a couple of deaths away later, sorry, he's gone. So yeah, that would be the only thing I'd say. Like, the positive out of there is let's take the lessons. Let's learn from that lesson.
Right. So next up we have George Floyd.
Another
heavy.
Where to begin?
I know, George Floyd, that caused a big stir, but, you know, a needed stir. I've actually
Can
find it was my needed.
Can we recap for somebody who's sleeping under a rock? Who is George
under
Floyd?
Under several rocks.
Under several rocks. Now, I don't want to misquote, so I'm going to put it in and have to say George Floyd was unfortunately killed by the police with a knee on his neck. It was recorded. And, you know, did you guys know that the female who actually recorded that got death threats and so forth? Did you guys
know? No way.
I'm
she was a
surprised.
Black woman too, right?
Yeah, I'm
she
not surprised.
She was melanated. She was a black woman. He was 46 years old. And he died after that happened. Everybody stood around and watched. She taped it. I'm just going to read who he is because I want to make sure that everybody knows and is aware.
Go ahead.
George Floyd is 46. He died after being arrested by police outside a shop in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Footage of the arrest on the 25th of May shows a white police officer, Derek Chauvin, kneeling on Mr. Floyd's neck while he was pinned to the floor. Mr. Chauvin, 44, has since been charged with murder. Transcripts of police body cam footage show Mr. Floyd said more than 20 times he could not breathe as he was restrained by the officers. This is still really heavy to me, so it's hard to read.
Yeah.
The key event that led to Mr. Floyd's death happened within just 30 minutes based on accounts from witnesses, video footage, and official statements. Here's what we know so far. So it goes down to say it began with a report of a fake $20 bill. A report was made on the evening of the 25th of May that when Mr. Floyd bought a pack of cigarettes from Cup Foods, a grocery store, believing the $20 bill he used to be counterfeit, a store employee reported it to the police. Mr. Floyd had been living in Minneapolis for several years. After moving there from his native Houston, Texas, he had recently been working as a bouncer in the city, but like millions of other Americans, was left jobless by the COVID pandemic.
Hmm. Yeah.
A fake $20 bill.
Yep. So,
and it turned out not to be fake.
No, no.
Just to let you guys know.
Farrell, what's your take on this?
Like, for me, this I have to give it a positive spin, because if not, then it's just too heavy to really take in. And it's his passing sparked such a movement on the planet.
Seriously,
right?
That if basically I have to give him thanks, because I understand things on a spiritual level. You understand that his spirit came on the planet to do something. So again, like I always talk about, like obviously it's a tragic thing when you look at it and you take it at face value, but when you understand that basically the spirit came on a mission, did what it had to do, and sparked an entire change, an entire movement, opened all kind of doors, like things started to happen from that. It was a catalyst for change.
True.
So that's how I take that. I take that as it's basically he came as a martyr for us. He might as well be Jesus. Sorry.
Right. He might as well be Jesus.
Of
that
our time.
Is correct. Mm-hmm. We are going to move on to Breonna Taylor. If that's another thing that did unfortunately happen this 2020.
Wait, I want to hear Gina on this.
Oh, Gina, I'm so sorry, lovey.
I'm George.
No, I don't have much more to add. I do agree there's silver lining around it. I do not understand how basically by doing this, you stated to the world that George Floyd's life was worth less than a $20 bill.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
So this is what you're telling me.
Pretty much.
That it was more important to quote unquote apprehend this person, have him call out for his mama, suffocate him for 8 minutes, and for a $20 bill.
Mm-hmm.
That, as you said, turned out to be perfectly
legit.
Real
$20 bill.
So that to me, and the other thing too, I'll give this to George Floyd. The other silver lining to this is that a lot of these. Didn't mean to say it like that. A lot of white people, mm-hmm. I heard them, a lot of them say like, oh, I didn't know this was going on. Oh, I didn't know these were things that were happening in the community. I didn't realize that black people were being targeted. Mm-hmm. And me as a black person, I have to kind of take a step back and just say, you know what? Now you know and you can't play ignorance.
Right.
Ignorant, but I still have a hard time understanding how you don't know. How didn't you know this?
How didn't you know this is happening?
But then there's also algorithms, huh? And well, we won't get into all that.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things that they show things to certain people and they avoid and they keep other people very ignorant on things.
Mm-hmm.
And so this removed the veil of ignorance, and now can't nobody come and tell me I didn't know about no, that's
you
not
know.
Gonna fly no more.
You know. We are gonna move forward to Breonna Taylor. Breonna Taylor was a 26-year-old African-American woman who was fatally shot in her Louisville, Kentucky apartment. The date is actually, you guys, March 13th, 2020, mm-hmm. when white plainclothes officers Jonathan Mattingly, Brett Hankinson, and Miles Cosgroves of the Louisville Metro Police Department forced entry into the apartment as a part of an investigation into a drug dealing operation. Taylor's boyfriend, Kenneth Walker, was inside the apartment with her when the officers knocked on the door and then forced entry. Officers said that they announced themselves as police before forcing entry, but Walker said he did not hear any announcement. Though the officers were intruders, and fired a warning shot at them. According to officials, it hit Mattingly in the leg, and the officers fired 32 shots in return. Walker was unhurt, but Taylor was hit by 6 bullets and died, according to police. Taylor's home was never searched. You guys have to talk about it because it's still heavy for me as well again.
Whew. So did that article mention that the person that they were actually going to apprehend was already in custody?
It goes down to a little bit further.
Did that article
yes.
mention that when her mother came on the scene, they had said correct. That she was rushed to the hospital when she was
still in the house?
Laying naked in her home.
Right.
She was. And then her mother had to go chase down different hospitals trying to find her daughter.
Yep.
And then came back and they were just like, oh, well, lip service.
Right.
All of that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And not to mention, the black woman is the most ill-treated person.
Or the most disrespected woman on the planet.
The most disrespected.
People on the planet, period.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's... Anyways.
Yep.
I'm gonna stop there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're
mm-hmm.
gonna stop there because... Whew.
Yeah, sorry, it's heavy. It's heavy.
This stuff is.
We're starting heavy. This
I know.
Is how we're
I did
starting.
Warn it. I did warn everybody. We are starting heavy.
We're gonna
we
finish on positive.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but just course. Recapping what it is. You can't
exactly.
Yeah,
so
those
that
are
is
facts.
That
this
is
what
Queen Breonna, and you know, I think we still need justice for Breonna because justice wasn't served. I don't care what anybody says. Justice was not served for her, and we can't stop on this just because, you know, they figured it well one way to put somebody away, but they really didn't. So, you know, we're going to keep on going. Then we move up a little bit further in March where the COVID shutdown on March 15th, 2020.
At first, we have Premier Francois Legault. We say he was doing a great job. If you can see my fingers communicating, like you guys can't see, but I have the guillemets fingers there. Well, a great job communicating with Quebec and everyone tuned in on a daily basis to the COVID updates. How do you guys feel about
that? Who tuned in? I got to admit, I was tuning in.
I was tuning in the beginning because it started to escalate to be like heavier than what it was. Yeah, you know, I'm just like, wow, okay. I guess every day.
In all honesty, I just got back from Trinidad on March 13th. I was looking at the calendar. Yeah, I was like,
oh, wow, you came back 2 days before.
He came back 2 days before. I came back a week before.
Same.
I came right before they shut down the country and everything. Yeah, I came in really right on time. And then I was just really lamping in my house. It was almost surreal for me. Like, you know, like really understanding, you know, like it was, I was like,
I came back from a cruise.
Mm-hmm. You came back from a cruise.
You're all fancy.
Yeah, I hated it. I'm never going on a cruise
by yourself.
Mm-hmm. No, we did a family trip. And like by the time we cruised, came back, the next people who went on that cruise, I feel bad for them because they got stuck. They were probably stuck 100%. Because we had time to come back home, and within a week, basically the time you would have been on that cruise.
The thing is,
a week,
things changed. That's from March. They didn't tell you to quarantine when you got to Toronto? That's weird.
It was so lax.
Because they told us to quarantine. When I was in Toronto, March 1st, I came back from Trinidad. And they were like, we recommend you stay home for 10 days.
So it wasn't mandatory.
It was not. It wasn't mandatory at that moment.
No talks like that.
They recommended that I stay.
That's why I didn't take it that serious, guys. I'm like, it's not that. I came breezing through the airport. Right. Nothing.
We didn't get that either. We came back March 8th.
My birthday.
I came back. We came back March 8th. They didn't say none of that because it wasn't at that point. And then, 2 weeks later.
Mm-hmm. I think it was interesting that at first everybody was literally railing on, oh, Legault's doing so well. He's talking to us like human beings. He's talking to us like he's our. Now we know he was lying, but he's talking to us like
he was
a normal person. Yeah.
He probably took his acting classes from Justin Trudeau.
Well, a lot of people were actually giving flack to Justin Trudeau, saying that he was mishandling this communication strategy and whatever. I just thought that we're not going to spend too much time on this one, but I just thought it was funny because now the roles seem to have been reversed near the end of the year. So back in March 15th, I think that's definitely one of the key points of 2020, which was the whole country shutting down.
Facts.
Right.
What's next?
Joyce Echaquan.
Echaquan,
excuse me. I didn't mean to disrespect her name. Indigenous woman who died in a Quebec hospital after filming staff insulting her. That one was hard to watch, too. Like, geez, Louise, just to hear what they were saying about her. I'm just like, is that how they speak of people? Yep. Like, what is going on? But now you see it. It's just the weirdest thing. It's like, okay, this is what you guys really feel.
Yeah.
No, the indigenous people are going through it.
But then you have people saying, well, there's no racism. There's no systematic racism. Yes, there is. What are you guys talking about? But my thing is, do these leaders hear these kind of videos that are being taken and things like that? Do they hear this?
But when you're in the know and like, you're part of the problem, like, does it make a difference?
Good point.
Right. That is true. That is true.
When you think that you are the voice as opposed to the, as Thierry said, the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
When you think that you're the delegator.
That's it.
When you think you're the dictator, does it really make a difference?
It doesn't. It doesn't. Which is unfortunate. Quebec Hospital, do better. Sean Reed. Seriously.
I'm sorry. Before we dive over. Matthew Sheffield. When was Matthew Sheffield?
It was a little bit later on.
Sheffield was actually it was about 3 weeks later.
Okay. Yeah, it was a little bit later than that. Yeah, so we could mention him, actually. Sheffield Matthews, that is his name. He was basically
gunned down by the cops
in Montreal here because he was carrying a knife. And let's not forget, somebody else was carrying a katana. In Quebec City. And then after that, didn't receive the same consequences as Brother Sheffield. So.
And wasn't it, apparently he was attacking people who were in a locked car? Like, they were in the car, right?
Yeah, they were in a car.
Where this person actually killed.
Yes.
Killed.
And no one's to say he attacked anybody. They said he approached a car.
And the cops felt threatened while they were in their vehicles. Let's just not forget to say that.
Yep. So no, definitely rest in power. I think Sheffield, because definitely I feel he was Montreal's George Floyd because he really
big
did.
Right.
He did spark a lot.
I'm a bit sad of how Montreal responded though.
In what way? Like why?
Well, there was 100,000 people that marched for King George, and then the week before there was 25,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, the OFC and Farrow, alongside Queen Anastasia Marcellin, put together 100,000 people in them streets walking. And I just, I don't know. I think for Sheffield Matthews, I was sad to see that, you know, then again, it was during the second wave and well, a lot of people were back at work and, you know, it's almost as if people were just not. It's funny how we're marching for American people dying, but yes, we're not going to march for people here. I understand, you're bringing up a good point.
Yeah. And actually, I spoke about that, but I had initially, when we had launched the first, well, the second march, technically, right before the march, I made it clear to say that this is going to be our last march, because I was really adamant about that, because like what is that doing? Like we're coming out, we're walking in the streets. What is that doing? Like literally, they're killing people like the same day, later on that night, like the next day. Mm-hmm. Like so, we're really, it's like a poppy show. And for me as a builder, I cannot mobilize my people to waste their time. So it was quick. It was for us. It was more efficient to one, acknowledge the family. We mm-hmm. made sure to do a commemoration for the brother, mm-hmm. But it also was to mobilize organization. So I was really excited to see the amount of organizations that came together to start brainstorming, to start strategizing, and we are still actively working on things. But you're right. We did not mobilize like we did for the
That's not your fault, though. I mean, you came from a space of saying, which is super powerful. If you think about it, you said enough of walking.
That's it.
Now we need action. So
we've been marching for a long time.
That's it. So I think that's super noble, Pharaoh, and I'm not going to let you take any kind of blame for this. Mm. I'm saying that beyond you, there should have been other people.
Of course.
Mm. And I heard there was a march, but nobody included nobody.
Yeah.
There was a march and, you know, about 1,000 people or a little less showed up, and I'm saying, I don't know. Mm. I don't know. Where are we as a community where, well, we're just going to wait for Pharaoh and Anastasia to put together marches?
And then after when he doesn't do it, say, oh, you know, Pharaoh didn't do it.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, point. You know, if you want them, you know, do yourself. March. You know what I mean? You have 2 feet. Most of us do. You know what I mean? Two legs. So we can use them. Facts. All right.
We're going to use those Twitter fingers for something.
You know what I'm saying? Those keyboard gangster fingers. Anyways, next up. We're going to move over to Sean Reed. Now, Sean Reed, he was, I'm just going to read it how it is.
Yeah, yeah.
A police officer fatally shot a man on Wednesday. This was back in June, I believe, evening, following a police chase that was captured in part on Facebook Live
insane.
As thousands tuned in. Several community activists and neighborhood organizers expressed outrage at what the video showed. More than 100 people gathered at the scene after the shooting, with many chanting, "No justice, no peace." The shooting happened on the north side near West 62nd Street at Michigan Road. Investigators say they found a gun near the suspect. So a family member at the scene on Wednesday identified the man as Sean Reed. The Marion County Coroner's Office identified him Thursday afternoon as 21-year-old Sean Reed. Tiana Reed, 37, who said Sean's aunt told the Indianapolis Star that the family had not received any information about what happened. Unfortunately, too, with this, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the police officer who did shoot him, or who was a part of that whole gang, said, well, this one's going to be a close casket.
I remember that. And you know what?
And I thought that was funny.
I'm so happy that you're actually bringing this one up, because
absolutely,
around that time, I felt like the system were killing us so fast that we did not have time to mourn. And to me, it was like, how did we miss this one?
Right.
The man is doing he's evidently high. For those of you who saw the video,
yes,
he's on his video, he's doing a Facebook Live, and he's mocking the police not being able to catch him, and he's kind of like driving GTA style, and gets out of the car, starts running, and you hear the cops say, "Police, freeze!" And he's running. He's running away. He's not attacking anybody. He's just running away.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing you know, he's laughing one more time on the Facebook Live. He gets shot. You hear shots. He falls to the ground. And then you hear the cops get close to his body and say, "This is going to be a close casket, homie."
And laughs.
To me, I was like, wow, this is like the Twilight Zone.
This is where we're at.
This is where we're at.
This is it.
This is what's happening.
That was a shocking one for me.
The officer might as well have been wearing the KKK cap.
And around the same time, I think it's important to notice before we go to the next point.
Yes.
Régis Paquet. Mm-hmm. She is from Canada. She was an indigenous black woman that was in her apartment with her family. The family called. She was having a mental health breakdown. They called the cops, and several minutes after the cops showed up, she falls down 40 flights of stairs. Mm-hmm. So that was one that did not get a lot of attention.
It did not.
Because it got kind of like drowned into the whole Breonna Taylor and George Floyd thing. But it happened around the same time. So I just thought we'd give a big rest in peace.
40 flights of stairs.
No,
forty flights down. Yeah,
that, no, 40,
40 flights down,
down a balcony
from a balcony.
14 or 40.
So that's four stories. She fell. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Not downstairs.
That's it.
It was off the balcony. They forced her off the balcony.
Correct. And then she ended up dying.
That was in Toronto.
This is the one in Toronto. Absolutely.
It's just Korshinsky Path.
But then they tried to still make it sound like she did it herself.
Correct. Yeah. That she killed herself.
Tried to turn it out as a suicide.
Sorry, it was 24 stories below.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they tried to make it seem like it was suicide. 29
years old, indigenous Ukrainian Black Canadian woman out of Toronto, Ontario.
Yeah. Oh, next up.
Mm-hmm.
Ex-cop.
I can't wait to get to the positive.
Me too. We're trying to move through this as easy as possible. Ex-cop Chauvin, which is George Floyd's killer, freed on bail. So release comes with conditions banning Derek Chauvin from working in law enforcement and possessing any firearms. The former Minneapolis police officer charged with murder in the death of George Floyd has posted bail and was released on prison from Wednesday. This article is from October 7th, for those of you who are listening. According to court documents, Derek Chauvin posted a $1 million bail and the Department of Corrections confirmed he was no longer in custody at the state's facility in Oak Park Heights, where he had been detained. Heppen County jail records show that he was released shortly before 11:30 a.m.
Who bailed him out at a million? Huh? What's the cop's salary?
Oh, probably the union.
His church friends. Who knows?
Because if you can't work in law enforcement, why is the union bailing you out?
Mm-hmm.
That's like that GoFundMe that they launched for, and he doesn't deserve his own spot. But that Kyle kid that shot those protesters with that illegal firearm, the 15-year-old, they raised $500,000 on a GoFundMe.
Yeah.
Right.
So for shooting protesters. So, and also Derek Chauvin, a very important thing to note, to mention before we move on.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Chauvin's bigoted racist went and hired the same attorney that got the murdering cops of Philando Castile off the hook. So it's very important to understand that this is how the system works.
Yep.
Philando Castile was stopped by cops in Minneapolis still. This is still Minneapolis.
Minneapolis, man.
Yeah, something's wrong down there.
How many times I said that since the beginning of the show?
They stopped a black man, and within a minute 40 seconds, he said, Philando Castile, for those of you who don't know, told the cops, I have a permit. I'm allowed to carry a firearm.
Mm-hmm.
It is in
my... Because they ask you,
they
right?
Asked them.
They asked the question.
They said, okay, that's fine. He said, the firearm is in my car. I'm just going to show you my permit, my license to carry.
Right.
And the cop said, okay, but just don't reach for... And then he repeated, no, I'm just going to show you the permit. And then he reached for the permit. And you could tell the cops didn't listen because 10 seconds later, while his daughter is in the car... And his wife is crying out. He literally got shot
right in front of them.
Right in front of everybody.
Yeah. Right in front of
them. Yeah. So Philando Castile's murder got off the hook by I don't want to give them publicity, but a lawyer, and then Derek Chauvin, who needs George Floyd, just hired back in October. The same law firm that got the murder of Philando. So I just wanted to add this in there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Breonna Taylor's killers also got let go as well.
Mm-hmm. Got the same...
same old treatment.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
To pat on the back. We're going to keep it moving forward, and we're going to talk about businesses being shut down by the government due to COVID-19. So the impact of COVID-19 on small businesses, outcomes, and expectations. Drawing on a survey of more than 5,800 small businesses, this paper provides insight into the economic impact of coronavirus COVID-19 on small businesses. The results shed light on both the financial fragility of many small businesses and the significant impact COVID-19 had on these businesses in the weeks after COVID-19 related disruptions began. The results also provide evidence on businesses' expectations about the long-term impact of COVID-19, as well as their perceptions of relief programs offered by the government. Abstract. Now, to explore the impact of the coronavirus cases on small businesses, they conducted a survey, like I told you guys in the beginning. So They are saying that first, mass layoffs and closures had already occurred just a few weeks into the crisis. Second, the risk of closure was negatively associated with the expected length of the crisis. Moreover, businesses had widely varying beliefs about the likely duration of COVID-19 related disruptions. Third, many small businesses are financially fragile at the moment and still are. There's still some closing down and we're still seeing some suffering and we're still seeing just the decline, unfortunately, of small businesses. So Taylor, I want you to talk about that more because of the video that you did last week.
Yeah, so as I spoke about last week for the holidays, I think it's important, people. This is not a conspiracy. This is literally billionaires that are turning into trillionaires at the expense of businesses. This is literally Walmart, who made $580 billion last 2019, and are probably going to make anywhere between $600 to $700 billion because they have no competition.
Mm-hmm.
Walmart was already getting into community-driven neighborhoods, community business mom-and-pop shops. They were already getting killed by them.
Mm-hmm.
This pandemic is the nail in the coffin.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we know this much, that when Canada catches a cold, Black people catch cancer.
Mm.
Right? So if this thing is killing all Canadian businesses, imagine what it's doing to Black and brown businesses.
Amen. Yeah, mm-hmm. Speak.
Not to mention the restaurants, right? They turned around and they told them, put your plexiglass, do all these things.
Spend money.
When they were losing all kind of money. And I'm not talking about the McDonald's and Friends. I'm talking about our mom and pop shop restaurants. And Montreal's known for that. Generally speaking, names don't work here. Like we thrive on the family-owned businesses.
Montreal's the biggest amount of bars and restaurants, fun facts,
yes,
per capita in North America.
There you have it.
More than New York City, more than Mexico City. We have the biggest amount of bars and restaurants per capita
in
North America.
They had to invest and do all this and then only to be closed down weeks after doing that.
That's really, really wicked. Okay, we're going to go on to the next one, which is another loss in, you know, the entertainment world, but in the community altogether. That's Mr. Chadwick Boseman.
Wakanda forever.
That's right.
Yo.
Unfortunately, he did pass away. He transitioned, actually. I believe it says August 28th, I think it's what it says.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he died at 43 years old. That says actor Chadwick Boseman, who brought the movie Black Panther to life with his charismatic intensity and regal performance, has passed away. It says, a true fighter, Chadwick preserved through it all and brought you so many of the films you have come to love so much, from Marshall to The Five Bloods, August Wilson's May Rainey, Black Bottom, and several more. All were filmed during and between countless surgeries and chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. That goes to show you that our guy was there for us. He stood up to what he faced it. You know, he did what he had to do. And then after, King T'Challa, man, we'll always remember him. He played that to the end.
Mm. And I think it's important to mention, King T'Challa, before going into battle, used to yell, Yibambe!
Yes!
And Yibambe is a battle cry, which roughly translates to hold the line, hold fast, and hold strong. It's in Xhosa, a language originating out of South Africa. So I just want to say Yibambe to all my Black and brown people listening.
Yeah, that was another hard hit.
And they also mentioned that they're not going to recast the Black Panther. They're allowing him to keep that.
Live on.
Yeah, they're going to. Black Panther is Chadwick Boseman. They're just going to focus on the other characters.
And you know what? Lastly, I want to touch on Black Panther, not just his death, but we got to do an internal soul searching as Black people. How many of us clown these public personalities on social media? How many people called Chadwick Boseman a crackhead because we saw pictures of him in public? How many of us started to...
I definitely was one, like, and I'm not going to lie, because we know in the industry that drugs is prevalent. And you know what? That's one of the reasons why, too, transparency when it comes to some of those things is so important, because the brother deserves so much more respect.
Right.
But we have seen countless times in Hollywood after a Black man or a Black woman gets a major lead position for a movie, and then later on you'll see that drugs drags them down because somebody wants that money that they made back out of their pocket. So yes, we did assume. So, and I apologize for that because I was one of them.
That is courageous. I was one of them. And thank you, King Queen Kaya, for saying this, because I think a lot of us did it.
Mm-hmm.
And We did not know that he was suffering.
We didn't. Mm-hmm.
He was slowly but surely dying. Mm-hmm. So let's be a little bit more mindful.
Yes.
Next time we see our black queens and kings trying to do great things. This is Thurgood Marshall, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Yes, he's Black Panther, but he was also Thurgood Marshall.
Right.
This is a person that has put his black essence and soul
James
in
Brown.
Every yeah. single James Brown. Every role he played, this young man was definitely on his way to not be the second Denzel, to be the first
Chadwick.
The bum bacon.
First yeah. and mm. only.
Message from the King. Watch that movie too. That movie was hard.
Yeah.
He just did.
Everything that he did was like, you know, he did it with such talent, grace, you know, poise, everything about him. Rest in peace, King. Next up, black people being more affected by coronavirus, COVID-19, during the mm-hmm. pandemic. So I want to take this article from our good old CNN. Good old CNN. It says, at first, the coronavirus pandemic was called the Great Equalizer. It seemed to be affecting people of all races, backgrounds, and income levels, from Hollywood actors to NBA mm-hmm. players to low-wage service workers. But as more data became available, one thing is clear. COVID-19 has only magnified the systemic inequalities that persist in the United States, and non-white Americans, especially African Americans, have been hit hard on nearly every front. Though the available data paint a green picture, the numbers are incomplete. Much of the state and federal data on COVID-19 cases, it says, and deaths are preliminary, while race and ethnicity information isn't even available for tens of thousands of cases. Advocacy groups have called on the federal government to release more detailed numbers, and experts and community leaders fear that the reality may be even worse. Guys, thoughts?
I want to touch on this because it sparked my purpose in creating Colors of COVID, which aims at collecting race-based data to put it in our government's face and make them understand that they got to stop saying we're all in this together,
yeah.
we're all in the same boat, BS. Mm. No, we're in the same storm, like I love to say, but we're not in the same boat, that's for sure.
Right.
Some of us don't have a boat, we're swimming. So to me, I think once CNN's important, but let's stay close to home.
Yeah.
Toronto came out with a scary, scary piece of data because they were quick to say, hey, back in June, they started to collect race-based data.
Mm-hmm.
And in October, Toronto came out with an article that was clear. 83, that was CBC, 83% of people that literally contracted COVID-19
mm-hmm.
were Indigenous,
mm-hmm.
Black, and people of color. Mm. 83% in Ontario.
Wow.
So if this is the reality of Ontario, what does this mean right now in Quebec? And because
Correct.
Of our government refusal, and they lied to us, they told us they would collect some, and they did not, this sparked our initiative to start Colors of COVID.
Right.
So I want to talk about health and black people. And so COVID notwithstanding, this imagery that they have of the black people being these strong, athletic, superhuman, hey, I'll take the accolades on some levels, but I'll say this. Black women are 2 to 6 times more likely to die from complications while giving birth.
Mm-hmm.
In Canada.
And why? Because when they complain about something, mm-hmm. they just assume you're fine, you know, walk it off.
Right.
And we're dying. And that's how the health system views black people.
Mm.
We're supposed to be stronger. We're fine. We walk it off. And so if that's how the health system already was off the grip,
mm-hmm.
We can't expect anything different in COVID.
Exactly. Gina, I want to touch on that because you hit a subject that was also this year, and it was an Ontario woman who had endometriosis. She had to go have surgery in the UK because she got dismissed by Canadian doctors. She
yes.
is also a melanated woman, and she traveled to the UK because the doctor said, well, you know, it's not that serious. And it's common in black women. It's going to go away.
It's common in black women.
So imagine she had to go travel to get her endometriosis treated, her fibroids, everything, a lot of things that black women suffer
with.
She had to travel to get that treated because they did not believe her. I have a little clip. I could read it. You know me. I'm Bobby's Fackety Yaks. Hold on. Let it come up, though. Okay. It says, Ontario woman gets endometriosis surgery in UK after Canadian doctors dismissed her for symptoms for years. Christina P, because I don't want to, you know, mess up her last name, was diagnosed with endometriosis in 2014. And since then, her symptoms progressed to the point she was no longer able to get out of bed, shower, or cook without the help of someone. This melanated woman is 25 years old. She told CTVnews.ca she was suffering from regular kidney infections and struggled with frequent ruptured ovarian cysts that landed her in the emergency room about once every 3 months. She was also recently began experiencing shortness of breath and chest pain when she was menstruating, among other symptoms. So basically, when she went to the doctor, she said despite her symptoms and other doctors saying she would have to go to kidney dialysis if she didn't get her treatment soon, her gynecologist insisted that her endometriosis was only, check the word, mild and did not require surgery. Now, while she's been seen by various doctors and specialists over the years, P, that's her, Christina, says that it all made different conclusions about her condition. Okay. It was just all over the place and no one was giving me an answer. When I was saying, how do I cure this? I was being told I can go on a load of antibiotics for life and to just take pain medication, but antibiotics would have a lot of side effects too, she said. So her symptoms grew worse and she joined a Facebook group comprised of thousands of women with the disease around the world, because it's really common in melanated women. And the administrator of the group had compiled a list of some of the top endometriosis specialists globally. They found one in the UK. She went there. She got it treated. It was done. She's good now. Can you guys imagine that?
Wow.
So I have a friend.
Wow.
Yeah. She had Crohn's disease since she was 12.
Okay.
And she was going into the hospital a bit more often. She's like, something's wrong. Something's off.
Right.
And they just attributed it to the Crohn's disease. And you're fine. You're fine. 5 months down the line, they finally decided to do tests. She had stage 3 cancer.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Stage 3 cancer.
Yeah, they like to dismiss.
And then she basically went to, they put her in hospice. She passed away.
I'm so sorry.
Maybe four months after that. Right?
You see?
And look, here's the thing. She had really bad Crohn's disease, and we don't know if they would have identified or did what they needed to do beforehand, if they could have done surgery.
Right.
Because she may not have had the immune system for it.
Right.
But the fact that she's telling you, there is something wrong
with
you're
me?
Saying, nah, that's just your Crohn's.
Right.
Like, you're good.
Right.
And then to come to find out that it was stage 3. Not, you could have found it at stage 2. You could have found it at stage 1. It could have been stage 3 when she came in.
Right.
But the fact is, you didn't check.
Right. You didn't check. And I got to elaborate one more time. There's a sister in our community who we know pretty well. I think we all know her. I'm not going to mention her name because it's not my story. However, she did say that she went to the doctor earlier this month in December and they dismissed her symptoms because she spoke too well.
What? That is insane.
She described them too well, so they dismissed her symptoms. You know who it is. I believe everybody at this table knows who it is. I'll tell you guys off the air who it is. But she actually put it on a Facebook status.
Damn.
She put that the doctor told her she described her symptoms too articulately were the words, and they dismissed her symptoms.
Oh, so they thought she researched it and came in with
absolutely.
Whatever?
Wow. They thought that she was a Google doctor. You know who it is. I'll tell you after. But anyway, so we're going to move on.
Even if I am.
Seriously.
Even if I am. And you know what? I'm going to have to tell y'all a little something about a little something because I am a Google doctor. And if you know me, I'm telling the real truth. And if people that know me can tell you, I have healed people. I have healed myself. But I went through an instance actually in the prison system where I was inflicted with scabies. When I got there, I caught scabies from another inmate that was in there, and they wash all of our linens together, me, her, two big girls or whatever, and in the same quad. They end up washing our stuff together, and I end up catching scabies. So for 3 months I'm suffering with scabies, and if you know what scabies are, you are itchy. Not only did I catch it, but when I said to them, listen, something's wrong and I think I have scabies, they ignored me for about 6 weeks until one day I flipped out. They send me down to the infirmary, and I start telling them my symptoms, and they're like, what are you, a doctor or something? And I'm like, listen, you can call it whatever you want to, but I need medication for this because this is what I have.
Right.
They said, that's not what you have, and they give me a medication that has steroids in it. They said, cream yourself with this every night at bedtime. So at bedtime is when you get itchy because you bathe and stuff like that, and then they try and burrow, so they itch you.
So I put on this stuff with the steroids in it, and every morning I would wake up with like 2,000 more bumps all over my body.
They treated it like
Now all of my orifices are inflamed. I'm literally now I'm devising ways at nighttime to wake up in the morning and trip out so that they can send me back to the infirmary.
Right.
So I pretty much come out of my cell with no brassiere and no panties on, and I put my feet up on the table, and so they can see my crotch and they can see my privates, and I'm like, yeah. Look at this.
All right.
So now the camera sees me and the people from the because they have like a switchboard where they say, okay, call security. Call security, because this one here
that's
is
not funny, but it's, she's the
this is what it is. It's serious.
What she had to do?
I had to do what I had to do.
Absolutely.
So I end up having to, it was a big thing with the council. It had to get involved in all kinds of stuff because the doctors would not check their implicit bias. And it was true. Once I was prescribed the scabies medication, I was given the medication, but they made me go to segregation in order to take the medication, so they pretty much punished me for it. And after I got better, they put me in what is called like the padded cell. Mm-hmm. It's a secondary resort for people who try to commit suicide, because they were so mad that I actually knew what was wrong with me.
Exactly.
They punished me for it and put me in there for 24 hours in a hole, like with no clothes on. They stripped me down naked at gunpoint, everything, in the jail cell. So just to let you know how drastic sometimes it is, they won't believe you even if you have proof. You could be bleeding from all orifices and they don't believe you. So when you have the chance and you know that something is wrong with you, stand your ground. And we have to start saying to doctors, I need you to check your implicit bias, because they know what that means. They know what that means. They know because this is what they used to test us. They used to do surgeries on us without giving us anesthesia to see, because they believe that we don't feel pain as black people. So I need you to start speaking up. I need you to start saying these different things, because it's happening to us. More black women are saying it now. They are mistreated when they have babies. They're dying. Their babies are dying at birth because they're not being treated the same way and not being cared for the same way. So please know that this is something that is very real, and you have to start telling doctors to check their implicit bias. They know what it means. Use that.
Yes, Kaya. Thank you. Thank you. We need that.
That was
a great. That was a great 100%. One. Okay. There was only a few more on the negative list, and then we are done.
Then we're going straight. Then positivity.
We're going to. Well, we're gonna play some music, and then
we have the entertainment negative.
Yeah, we have to. Well, no, we go play some music after this.
Yeah,
okay?
We need a break.
We need something. Ah, okay. The next one is every single government's response to the pandemic. Thierry, this is yours, my darling.
I think we could look at world governments, and some were doing better than others. The first one that comes to mind is Australia. Has zero cases of COVID in the past 3 weeks.
Yes. Telling you.
Everybody's back to work.
Congrats,
everybody's doing
Australia.
Okay.
Everyone's partying tonight for New Year's Eve.
Yep. So mental health is up. There's a couple of other countries. I think in Korea. I think it's South Korea. South Korea is doing okay as well. I think what's important to remember here is, beyond this vaccine thing, which we know we're gonna get to later on, I think it's important that government stop lying.
Yes, brother. Say
just
it again.
Stop lying.
Say it
Do
again,
not talk
brother.
To us like we are children. Do not patronize us. Do not insult our intelligence. If you're going to pass something, pass a law for everybody. Pass it for big businesses. Pass it for small biz. And might I add to Justin Trudeau, because I know you listen to us, Justin. To Legault, because I know you listen to us too. Even though you don't believe in systemic racism, that's okay. We got you on this one. How about you pass this law? You make it illegal for anybody that works in L'Assemblée Nationale in Quebec and anybody that works in Parliament in Ottawa to own shares of Facebook, Google, Amazon, Costco, Walmart. How about you do that? Meaning any elected official that owns any of these stocks has to be forced to sell them, and nobody in themselves or their immediate family is allowed to own these stocks. Because let me tell you something. Right now, a whole lot of people are starting to understand something. By the time this pandemic's over, big businesses are going to thrive, and small businesses, forget survive, are going to die. So for the response regarding the government, do better.
Amen.
Do better. Do not lie to us and do not treat us like children. Next.
The vaccine. The COVID-19 vaccine that was supposedly created by a black woman. Yay.
Yeah.
You know why they're saying this to us? Dr. Fauci, go to hell. I'm gonna tell you something else. Mm-hmm. You think we're dumb? You think we're stupid? You think we don't know that you want to test these things on us because our bodies are stronger? You know who else used to say this? Slave owners.
Mm-hmm. Talking.
Say it again,
slavery.
Brother.
Transatlantic slavery. They got to the island of the Taínos, Hispaniola. And they murdered in less than 30 years the entire indigenous population of Haiti. Mm-hmm. And you know what they did afterwards? They said, we need strong bodies. Yo. Where do we have strong bodies on this earth? Let's go to Africa.
Mm.
And then they brought them. And they said, yeah, they could take pain. Give them a little rum, a little sugar, one meal a week, one meal every 2-3 days, some swine. They introduced a bunch of things that are not good for us. I had griot, by the way, today. I can't lie. So... They literally introduce all these things that are bad for us. And yet some of us, I don't want to get too religious, but some of y'all a week ago were still praying to little white baby Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think they gave you swine, they gave you misery, they gave you hell on food, on your bodies, do you think they gave you religion?
Mm.
Do you think that the one good thing they would give you is sweet baby Jesus? I don't want to get too controversial.
Don't get me started.
But you guys got another thing coming. I'm going to tell you something. Ye Bombay. Hey, we got the... Give me that bomb. Give me that bomb.
Hey!
We're getting fancy for the end of the year.
Yes, that's it. First.
If you think that when they call voodoo black magic, let me tell you something. Our spirituality... is thousands, millions of years old.
Mm.
Supersedes your religion.
Our community and village way to run our societies is known and has been veneered by kings and queens and empires. We come from the Kush Empire, the Moors. Mm. We are literally the inspiration behind the Babylonians. We are the Olmecs. We have been to America before anybody came to America. Do not let them lie to you.
Mm-hmm.
Know thyself. Know thy history. Knowledge is power, and power is knowledgeable. That's what my father used to tell me. So for 2021, everybody, including Pharaoh testing out the sound effects, I'm a wish for you, Ye Bombay.
Ye Bombay.
Ye Bombay.
And on the last negative note, bonjour, hoes.
Say it again.
Bonjour, hoes. And Quebec investing $5 million in the French language during a pandemic. Don't we just love our province? Oh, my God.
We're the positivity.
Where's the problem, guys? Where's this French problem they keep speaking of? Because I've been to Quebec City, and you know what they speak there? French. You know what they speak on the South Shore? French. You know what they speak in La Val-Laurentide in France? French.
Right.
Because we speak English, because Montreal's bilingual, it's an issue. But that's where your money comes from.
Mm.
Facts.
And by the way, when you're letting these American companies come in, which not a problem, I work for one, and you're pleading them to come in, you're giving them tax credits for it, but they're English. So they need the people to work for them to be English too.
Right?
So make up your mind.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question.
And take that $5 million and put it where it needs to be.
Amen.
Because your French is not under fire.
I have a question. You guys know about the snowbirds that go to Florida?
Yeah.
What language do they speak?
When they get there?
If anything.
Bonjour, hoes.
No, Orlando is probably the only bilingual city of the U.S.
Last week I was watching the news, and I see a lot of Quebecers going to Florida because there's snowbirds. A lot of Quebecers. So what do they do down there?
You want to hear a fun fact about Orlando?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Orlando is one of the only city, actually the first city to ever have a Desjardins branch.
Oh!
Orlando, Florida has Desjardins branch.
Popular.
They have a Caisse Pop, and they also have, drum roll please.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't ready for that one.
They were the first one to have a belle province.
La poutine!
Bonjour,
en Floride!
And before any French people come for me, je suis parfaitement bilingue.
Mais tout le monde sur l'équipe est parfaitement bilingue.
Je parle français. Je suis allée à l'école en français. Le primaire et le secondaire étaient en français. J'ai pris la décision.
Roll that tongue.
You know what? I'm trying to make a point here.
Right? Exactly.
J'ai pris la décision d'aller au cégep et l'université en anglais. Mm. Je parle parfaitement votre langue.
Exactly.
Don't come for me.
Exactly. Mm. And on that note, we're going to transition to MCD Solo. How should I say this
Artist
in French?
Artist of the Year.
Artist of the Year. Slow Wine. How do you say Slow Wine in French? Doucement Bouger. Le remix.
Et bonjour ho.
Et bonjour ho.
The potion that we singing out. Oh my, 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 oh my, my, my. I fell in love on your slow wine. No lie, 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 no lie, lie, lie. The way you move in your waistline. Oh my, 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 oh my, my, my. I fell in love on your slow wine. No lie, 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 no lie, lie, lie. Baby, I love how you wind it. I'm trying to get behind it. You get me excited. You know how I like it. The dance now, bust it. No time for discussions. Back against the wall. While you give me your all, yeah. Working all week, so you know you deserve it. Wine with a purpose, girl, put your work in. Yeah, and she dropped down low. Watch her pick it up slow. Oh my, 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 oh my, my, my. I fell in love on your slow. Back and forth. Oh, girl, I cannot wait to dance with you on the floor. Oh, love the way you're moving it back and forth. Oh, my, 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 oh, my, my, my. I fell in love on your slow wine. No lie, 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 no lie, lie, lie. The way you're moving your waistline.
Okay, you guys.
Woo. How did you just stop this, like, sec, like you say in
that
French?
That was sec for real.
That was dry as hell. On New Year's?
And the mics. And this is, yeah, come on.
Everybody's vibing. People started to
We were doucement bouger.
I see what was going on. But guys, we have a very important service announcement. I had to stop everything.